You're listening to SBS News.
The rights of women and girls in Afghanistan have been on the agenda since the Taliban took over the country again in August of 2021. At first, the group promised those rights would be respected, but recently banned girls from attending school above grade 6. Ria Sultani is a science teacher at Zaghona High School in Kabul and says the country's Taliban leaders need to change their minds.
Actually, these girls belong to the future of the country and they build the nation. If they do not get an education, who will make the country? Therefore, I appeal to the Taliban to reopen classes for girls studying from 7th to 12th grade as well. Because girls make the country, and if the girls get an education, then we will have better and more manageable governance.
The international community is also trying to pressure the Taliban to reverse its decision. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says he deeply regrets that girls' education above the sixth grade remains suspended.
There is simply no justification for such discrimination. Educated girls become educated women who lift their families and communities into a better future. The inclusion of women and girls in all sectors of society and the economy is essential to overcoming Afghanistan's intersecting economic, humanitarian, and human rights crisis. I call on those with influence to use it to pressure the de facto authorities to fulfill their promise to reopen schools for all students.
Pressure is also mounting closer to home. Seven countries neighbouring Afghanistan had a meeting this week of their foreign ministers and other senior officials in Tungsi, in southeastern China's Anhui province. China, Russia, Iran, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan issued a joint statement calling on the Taliban regime to respect women's rights and to ensure children are given an education. But human rights appear to be the least of the Taliban's concerns. Spokesman Suhail Shaheen says they want sanctions removed so development and reconstruction projects can kick off and more Afghan people can have jobs.
Afghanistan is a bridge between Southeast Asia and the Central Asia. We want Afghanistan finds its due place in the region and practically become a point of connectivity in this region.
Those sanctions include $7 billion in assets frozen by the United States and halt to international development aid. The sanctions were imposed in response to the regime's human rights violations and connections to terror groups. Pakistan's Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi says both his country and China have an interest in terrorist organizations reducing their footprint in Afghanistan.
We are concerned on the activities of TTP. China is concerned on the activities of ETIM, and we would share our concerns with our Afghan friends. We both feel that we can contribute to their economic stability as neighbours.
China is keen to see sanctions removed, but groups within Afghanistan, like the Afghan Women's Organization for Peace and Freedom, say the Taliban's almost daily edicts have infuriated and impoverished many. Group member Madini Mabibi says the world should keep trying to ensure that the Taliban behaves appropriately.
We call on the international community, especially the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, to stand by us and support us, and to raise their voice for the education right of every Afghan girl.
For the United Nations, sanctions have created a terrible paradox, where in attempting to teach the Taliban a lesson, a massive humanitarian crisis has unfolded, on top of the distress caused by the Taliban itself. Antonio Guterres says the situation in Afghanistan is dire.
Some 95% of people do not have enough to eat, and 9 million people are at risk of famine. UNICEF estimates that 1 million severely malnourished children are on the verge of death without immediate action, and global food prices are skyrocketing as a result of the war in Ukraine. This spells catastrophe for both Afghans struggling to feed their families and for our aid operations. People are already selling their children and their body parts in order to feed their families.
The UN has launched a virtual aid pledging conference, asking the international community to contribute to its biggest ever funding target for a single country at $4.4 billion. Britain's Foreign Secretary Liz Truss says the UK is happy to help.
We've doubled UK aid to Afghanistan, disbursing £286 million, $380 million this financial year. And I'm pleased to announce we'll match that with the same amount in the financial year which starts tomorrow.
Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock of Germany says her country is giving 200 million euros. Qatar has contributed $50 million in recent months and pledged another $25 million for 2022. But currently, the appeal remains less than 13% funded, perhaps because the international community is focused on Ukraine, but also because it remains wary of the Taliban. Some groups want the pressure to continue, despite the humanitarian crisis. Musada Sultan is a member of the American Women's Peace and Education Delegation.
We believe that it is good that the international pressure remains on the Taliban to reopen all girls' schools. It's very important for the world to keep telling the Taliban that girls' right to education is a fundamental human right.
Martin Griffiths is the UN's Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator. He says it will be the ordinary people of Afghanistan who will continue to suffer.
Many humanitarian donors rightly point to the need for the de facto Taliban authorities to play their part. And again, we heard this today. Many are especially frustrated by the recent decision to restrict access to education for girls. And I completely share this frustration, as we all do. And yet, and I want to say this plainly as possible, please don't make the people of Afghanistan suffer twice. They desperately need help. Please don't reduce assistance because of this wretched statement that we heard last week.
Deborah Grawk, SBS News.